Bicycle Talk Show Extravaganza. I am your co-host of every day, Mr. Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster. On the other end of the inner tubes, we have Mr. Ben Stone, the Angry Possum. What kind of possum? The furry possum?
Furry possum is good. The bearded possum.
Yeah, the bearded possum. And we do this show often, almost every day, practically every day. Okay, every day. And this is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus ceruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This keeps a sin flood of statism out of your brain. Can you feel it, Ben? Is it working, Ben? Is it working? Can you feel it?
I can feel it. It's warm and fuzzy in my between my ears.
Between your fuzzy toes. You're like a hobbit, man. You're like a tall hobbit.
A giant oversized hobbit.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got a couple announcements to make. First of all, I'm really into this guy. I'm not into this guy. I'm into into music by this guy, Spencer Bohren. I think it's his name. Spencer Bohren. He's a musician from New Orleans that I really, really dig his music. But he's actually from Casper, Wyoming, where I'm from. So he's reaching across the miles there by living there. It's kind of like you know how the Berlin Wall didn't come down because Reagan yelled at it. It came down because, as Hubert Sobey Jr. once said, a couple of dances going back and forth from Moscow to New York. Yeah. So I dig this Spencer Bohren guy. Should probably figure out how to pronounce his name, but his song "Long Black Line" slays me. If you've heard it, he lives there in New Orleans. And the other announcement I got to make, let's see, Freedom Fiends, we are no longer doing the subscribe by email function. It was causing problems on the website. So if you were subscribed to the Freedom Fiends, the email alerts for each episode, you got to go to the Freedom Fiends site and figure some other way to get it. You can either use the RSS feed or you can use iTunes and subscribe to iTunes, or you can just check into the site regularly. And I do want to say that Barack Obama is a liar. He's a socialist and his feet stink. And I have one more announcement before Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker here, gives you a whole bunch of information on the basics of liberty, which we like to do the first couple of weeks. When you're on a new station, like we are in Slot L and New Orleans area, we do like to do a couple of weeks in a row of basics of liberty, because our idea of liberty is a little more liberty-minded than all of the small government Republicans you hear on the radio. But I'm going to actually give y'all a piece of news you can use. And this probably isn't for the New Orleans people, because they're probably using Bell South for their internet service provider down there in Slidell and Kenner and Metairie. But this is something to know that probably is applicable to any internet service provider company. So Charter Internet, who I get my cable from, have been having problems for the past, 3 months. And they sent people out to the house. They sent people over it, you know, change out my modem, do all sorts of stuff, wrangling things. And every night between 6 p.m. and midnight, my cable internet would slow down to like dial-up speeds and be no good for doing a radio show. I had to get a second internet connection, DSL, and a router that connects them both and does a good job picking the best, the strongest one at any given time, so I can stay solid doing this show remotely to my network, which sends it up to satellites and then down to radio stations, and then they rebroadcast it. But here's what I found out. They actually, somebody there actually knew what this was about, apparently, and didn't tell the tech people or the tech support people or the people that come out to your house. They were doing a switch over to full cable, to full digital, from analog digital to full digital, which involved a lot of changing cables over. And the bottom line of this story is a lot of these companies act like they have a monopoly, because they kind of do in certain regions, because internet and telephone and cable TV providers cut backdoor deals with politicians and such. I'm not picking on Charter. I don't know if they do that, but they are the only cable provider in this part of Wyoming. So basically what I'm saying, here's the news you can use. If you have had a lot of problems with your internet, and even the people that come out to your house don't know what it is, and they may even try to blame it on you. Sometimes they do. But you might try what I did, which is call them up talk to the billing department and politely, that's the key word, politely explain the problem you've been having and ask for your money back for the period of time it's been happening. They gave me a full refund, no questions asked, for the 2 months that, you know, saved me $100 for an 8-minute phone call. So that is my news you can use for the day. That's kind of the free market in work, at work, in play there, Ben.
You know, a lot of companies will do something like that if you are, if you remain calm and firm, and polite, just like you said, and you have a legitimate complaint that they understand. If you can communicate it to the right person, very often they will do something to try to make good whatever the bad thing is that's happened.
Yeah, yeah, and that is news you can use for life too. Generally, the best way to get satisfaction when you're I demand satisfaction, sir. When you're, you know, instead of slapping him with the glove like you want to do, be firm and polite, or, you know, another way of saying it is confident without being cocky. And you'll get your stuff done. And that's not just for tech support. That's for everything. That is what I have found in life. That's the way to do it.
On the weekends, we have been kind of going over the basics. You mentioned this a little earlier. We've kind of been touching on the basics. So I wanted to just at least mention some of the things so that people can go and look them up or whatever. And another thing, if you're hearing this on the radio, you can go to the Freedom Fiends website. It's just the word freedom and the word fiends, FEENS.com. And there's archives there of all of our shows. You can go back and look through them and find shows that you haven't heard maybe. But some of the things we've talked about that we consider the basics in liberty, the basics in libertarian thought as we see it. One of the things we talked about recently was the great man fallacy, this idea that all of our problems are going to be solved once we elect this right guy, once this one person gets elected. Or in the case, you know, in the 1800s, it was, you know, can't remember his name, the guy in France.
Napoleon? That,
Napoleon, thank you. I had a brain there. But yeah, people looked at Napoleon as, oh, he's our great deliverer. He's, you know, he's an anomaly in history. He's like no one else. And then he kind of fell out of favor, and the opposite of the great man took effect, and he became the demon that caused all the bad things that happened. And we talked about that as a fallacy and how I think it was Herbert Spencer who first destroyed that fallacy and showed its flaws and everything. But depending on some great man to come into the government and fix everything that's wrong is really just a pipe dream that never, ever works out. And it never works to demonize a guy. And government loves to do this. You know, oh, Saddam Hussein is the next Hitler, or, you know, Osama bin Laden is so bad. We have to move heaven and earth to find him. This is a trick that people in power tend to use to keep everybody else under their power. So we talked about that. We talked about the difference between real justice and the stuff that they call justice. You know, it's not really justice if someone aggresses upon you, steals the stuff out of your garage, or, you know, shoots your dog or something, and the government people come out and haul them away and give them a trial and put them in jail and do all this stuff. It's not justice if you're having to pay for all that. And that's the system we have now.
No, they should have to come work for you until it's paid off.
Yeah, or some form of compensation to come back at you without having to go and hire another attorney and try to sue them in private court, you know.
And, you know, not Napoleon is not demonized everywhere. They actually named a street after him in New Orleans.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, you know, he's the guy who sold the Louisiana Purchase to another so-called great man, Thomas Jefferson, who, by the way, violated the Constitution by doing that. But
which part of it did he violate?
It had something to do with funding. I can't remember now. I'd have to look it back up. But essentially, he used presidential powers.
It was an executive power. Yeah. Let's see. Yep. It was a state's rights issue. And Jefferson disliked the idea of purchasing Louisiana from France, as that could imply that France had the right to Louisiana.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, really, whenever a territory is sold to another territory, it's stolen goods being sold, you know?
It really is. A good portion of the northern part of the Louisiana Purchase was actually claimed by Spain and by Russia and by England at the same time. So that's a real, this is an aspect I was going to touch later on, historical revisionism, of how the story gets changed after time. And, you know, not all of it is told in public schools and so forth like that.
Yeah, because they have a conflict of interest of telling you a more truthful version of it, which will make them look bad, because they do look bad, because governments are bad. All governments from top to bottom, you know, from your local town council to, I'm not going to say Hitler because everybody says Hitler. I'll say to North Korea. It's just a continuum. You know, it's how bad are they? Your city council can steal your property anytime they want.
Yeah, it's degrees of evil from the very smallest. Yeah, yeah, they do. As a matter of fact, you know, I've made this argument a lot. People always say, well, we need to shrink government down and we need to, you know, get government as small as possible. But the problem is, even a really small government, like a small town council or a city council, can be horribly oppressive. Most of our interactions with the evils of government take place on a local city level. You know, whether you're getting a ticket for cruising through a stop sign where there's nobody in the intersection or whatever it is, it's usually on a small town or a small level, small government level that's happening.
Yeah. And in New Orleans after Katrina, several governments went in and stole a bunch of land. I mean, the federal government was going in and saying that houses were condemned, houses that were rebuildable, saying they were condemned and tearing them down. They were doing all sorts of redistribution of deciding who's going to own the property you live on and things like that. So we'll be back with more after this trip to the free market. We're going to take a pause for a good cause, as DJ Davis says, worms.
And the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
So, Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, lay some more truth on me about how governments work and, moreover, how people allow them to work by believing things that are not true.
And that is one of the things we were talking about, stuff that we've been talking about recently on the show. And one of the things that we've talked about before was speaking truth to power. And this is something that, as a Quaker, actually, this is a tradition that goes back in Quakerism all the way into the 1600s. It's one of the things that Quakers stand for, is it's our responsibility, when given the opportunity, to speak the truth to power. And this goes back to standing up in front of Oliver Cromwell, telling him that it was wrong for him to murder people, and then all the way through during the when it was cool to have a slave, and the Quakers were standing up and saying, no, it's evil. Humans can't own other humans. This is wrong. And now here we are today as libertarians, also speaking the truth to power. We don't care if we're saying Obama's a socialist and his feet stink and he's a liar. We'll say that to his face, or we'll say that on the internet, or we'll say that wherever.
Or we'll say it on government-controlled radio like we are right now.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's truth. And that's one of the things that really holds libertarianism together, is that we're founded on principles.
But you know what? We gotta say Bush was a liar and a socialist and his feet stank too.
Absolutely. And it could be shown over and over. You can pretty much pick any politician on any level and find that. So that's one of the things that we've talked about recently on the show is speaking the truth to power. It's one of the aspects of being a libertarian. Another thing that we've been talking about is the non-aggression principle, or the zero aggression principle, and which are really the same, just two words for the same thing. But the idea is that we do not initiate aggression. We have no problem whatsoever with self-defense, although there are pacifists who are libertarians. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I know, Michael, you as well are not pacifists.
I care. I have a gun on me right now, and I'm home.
I do as well.
Not near me. On me.
Yeah, I have one in my pocket, and I have one within reach. So, within a few steps, that is. Anyway, so we're pro-gun, us especially, not all libertarians, but us especially, we are pro-gun.
More and more, though, which is kind of the new phase of libertarianism. Like, it was originally kind of codified into what it really is and what made sense by, you know, kind of like bow-tied academics back in the 40s and 50s and 60s and then in the 70s the guys with the long ties started running for office, the Libertarian Party, and they didn't do anything politically, and they shouldn't have, and it's not really libertarian, really, I think, to be involved in politics, because you're perpetuating, you know, a system that's based on holding guns to people's heads based on things people scribble down on paper. But, I think there's this new breed of it, which is kind of like the young bucks coming up, and a lot of them are gun owners, man, which is kind of cool, because it seems a lot less like they're theorists to me. You know, when you say no one should aggress on anyone, if you're not carrying a gun, what are you going to do when someone aggresses on you? Try, you know, like sit there and quote John Locke at them.
Exactly. It puts the legs on libertarianism if you actually own a gun and stand up for your right to possess
and carry it. Not just own it like in a closet. I mean, carry it. Like, you know, the right to keep and bear arms doesn't mean I have one in my closet and it's not loaded and I take it out for deer season. It means you have it on you at all times.
And this kind of goes to one of the things that we've also been talking about. We have talked about the three fallacies in liberty, in the liberty movement. One is that you can change things by voting. Another is that you can change things by fighting or by revolution, which we do not support. And the other thing is that many libertarians think the answer is in just running away, move to a different place. But we do not support a revolution. We do not support fighting for, you know, attacking government in some way, blowing things up. None of that kind of thing.
I support shooting muggers, though, if they try to take your stuff with a physical threat.
Oh, yeah. Defending your own property, defending your home, defending your family. We very much hold to that. And that's really, you know, those are some of the basics that we've covered in the last few weeks, specifically on the weekend shows that we want to get across to our radio audience. And again, it's a radio audience, but we also have an internet audience. And sometimes the folks on the internet forget that this is also a radio show, an actual radio show on real radio stations around North America.
Yeah, and we're more likely to reach people on radio who've never heard these concepts, you know, because we're on between like Hannity and Rush Limbaugh on radio. So it's a little different. So if you're listening on the internet and you're like, I know this stuff, remember, we're reaching new people on the radio. Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com. Freedom Fiends. That's Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com. FreedomFiends.com. So, Ben Stone, the bad Quaker, is elucidating us on the basic concepts of true liberty. Because Ben's a no-government man. A no-government man. So tell me, Ben, how would the roads work without the government? Now, that's like such 101, but maybe we should address it. But finish with what you were talking about the great man theory and where you were going with that.
Yeah, well, we were just covering some of the basics. We should probably, since we've said the word worms, and we're on news stations all the time, we should probably explain that, too. Yeah. When we say worms, it's kind of like a throwback to the old 80s hip-hop kind of thing. Yeah, exactly. Except we're also throwing it in as...
A warrant canary.
Yeah. And what's a warrant canary, Michael?
Well, it's a way of telling people that you've been contacted by the government and compromised in some way without doing it in a way that the government supposedly, you know, can harm you for it. Basically, when they passed the Patriot Act, or as we call it, the Jail All the Patriots Act, they added a provision that was extremely unconstitutional. And one is that the government can now contact you and interrogate you or search your house without a warrant, without due process. They can do a sneak and peek. They can come in your house for a minute and look around when you're not there, and they can get in any locked door, no problem. Any locksmith can get in any locked door. They have machines to do that. They look like a drill. I had a friend who was a locksmith. I got locked out of my house. This is kind of scary. And like, he just came down, we were in an apartment building, and he just came down the hall and like took this thing that looked like a drill, stuck it in the keyhole and went and pulled the trigger on it. And it, my door unlocked in like 10 seconds. So, yeah, they can get in, and they do. And they can contact you and interrogate you. And first of all, this is the one extremely unconstitutional part. They can tell you you're not allowed to tell anyone about it, including an attorney.
Or your wife.
Yeah, or your wife. So, but they also can tell you, you know, you're not allowed to tell anyone you've been contacted by the government. But a warrant canary is like, for instance, you know, a website will have something that says, we have not been contacted by the government this month. You know, for the month of November 2014 or whatever, or the week of whatever. And if that notice is ever gone from the website, it's a way of telling people they've been contacted without actually saying it. So if we ever stop saying worms and start saying word instead all the time, not if we just slip and say it once, but if we just start saying it all the time, it means something's up and we've been compromised. So yeah, go ahead, Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker from badquaker.com.
It's kind of like the opposite of hanging a sock on your doorknob to let everybody know, hey, there's a reason you don't want to open this door right now.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the opposite of that.
If the sock is not there, something's happened.
Yeah. And one other thing I think about what you're talking about there, I think that a lot of people don't realize, is they can actually go to your bank and demand that your bank president open your safety deposit box.
Yeah.
And they can look through it. And the bank president is not allowed by law to tell you that they did it.
Yeah, and they used to say that people who like kept their money in a mattress or in a jelly jar buried in the backyard were crazy. But that seems a lot less crazy when it's now legal for the government to go into the, you know, break the sacred bond of a safe deposit box without any legal reason to do so.
It's pretty crazy.
All the stuff that people used to say we're crazy about, you know, 10 years ago when we were saying, I think the government's spying on every phone call and every email. People used to think I was crazy for saying that. And after the Snowden leak came out, Edward Snowden, you know, a guy who worked as a contractor, subcontractor for the NSA, you know, released all this information. And now he's finding freedom in Russia. Think about that, about how bizarre that is. Like, you know, any of us who grew up in the Cold War, you know, he's finding sanctuary in Russia after exposing all of these horrible, unconstitutional, illegal, immoral things that the government are doing 24/7. You know, it's kind of like a shadow government. It's like the NSA is something that's a level of secrecy beyond like top secret, you know?
Yeah. And that's, again, going back to some of the things we've been talking about, to believe that, yeah, but you know, Jeb Bush or whoever is going to come in there and fix it all in a few years. No, that's just the great man fallacy jumping up in your head. And you just got to smack that down like whack-a-mole.
Yeah. And what is with all the dynasties in America? You know, the Bushes and the, even Cheney's daughter tried to run for congresswoman in Wyoming. She got shouted down and booed out of the state on a horse run out of town. Yeah. What is it with dynasties, man? I thought that was why the Revolutionary War was fought, was to get rid of the dynasty system, wasn't it?
It's a weird thing that Americans still are obsessed with things like not only the royal family in England, but also our own little made up dynasties like the Bushes and the, you know, Rockefellers and all these different ones like this that seem to maintain
the Cuomos.
Yeah. Or, you know, the Kennedy family.
Yeah.
That just seem to just go on and on and on getting reelected to these positions.
If I were a great man in the Revolution, well, my first order of business would have been to change the names of everything in New England, including New England, to not be names of things in England. Half the towns in Vermont and New Hampshire and New York, well, not New York, but a lot of those towns up there, you know, a lot of the New York is not New England, but the original colonies, a lot of things in them are named after things in England with just the word new in front of it.
Either that or named after some prominent English family that's, you know, landholders in England.
Yeah.
Fairfax in Virginia was like that.
Yeah. Washington. Every state in America except the state of Washington has a town named Washington.
Yeah, and oddly enough,
in the continental U.S.
In Ohio, there's a town called Washington Courthouse, which I always thought was a strange name for a town.
I always thought the one in Pennsylvania, King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, was pretty weird. Yeah, King of something that doesn't exist anymore. Yeah.
So that's part of speaking truth to power too, is that, you know, we can point these things out and we're not doing it to offend anyone. We're doing it because of there's this thing in the libertarian brain that just drives us toward the truth all the time. We seem to, you know, one of the points of criticism against libertarians is that we pick out some obscure little point and we squabble and argue over it for hours and hours at a time or for days on the internet. But the reason that we do that is because truth is one of the things that defines us as libertarians, and we're stuck in a society that's based on layers and layers and layers of lies, and it just eats at us constantly. That we have to just constantly try to find.
Not me. I'm blissfully unaware. I don't. This show is different from most political talk shows because we don't talk about. We don't open up the paper and say, "Look what Obama did to me today. We have to change this," because that's just same book, different chapter. You know, and it'll be a different guy or gal. You know, in a couple of years, and nothing will change. And really what needs to be changed is the underlying, we need to convince as many people as possible that all government is tyrannical. All government is based on aggression. You can't fix things by getting the right men in there. And, you know, it's immoral to have a system where you're too stupid to lead yourselves, but you're smart enough to vote for people who are smart enough because they are sociopathic enough to actually run for office. And anybody who runs for office is probably a sociopath.
Yeah, and several people have said that, several prominent people like J.R.R. Tolkien and Mark Twain, in different ways, they have said the same thing, that anybody who's running for office is probably the last person you would want to have in that office, because any honest person wouldn't want to run for an office.
Yeah, I don't stew in my libertarian juices the way a lot of people do. I see a lot of our, I don't want to use the word comrades, that's communist, but a lot of our friends and people we don't like, just people who are making a name for themselves in liberty. A lot of them, I mean, they do the same thing Rush Limbaugh does, but they take it to, you know, the extreme, the correct extreme of, you know, government is immoral. But I don't need to read another feisty blog post on why, you know, what this politician did is wrong, because I know it's wrong. It's a politician. And there's a term, stewing in your libertarian juices. It was made up by Boston Tea Party, who's a really good author and people should check him out. He also goes by Kenneth Royce. And stewing in your own libertarian juices is the thing that drives you insane. Of just like, once you take off the, you know, once you put on the glasses that allow you to see how the world really works, and you become a libertarian and you realize that all taxation is theft, all laws, you know, all laws with no victim are immoral, and all government only exists anywhere in the world to perpetuate itself and have a special class of people ruling over the common man. And that every election, as Jim Goad said, is just two millionaires fighting over who loves the common man more, you know, and every politician, you know, every Democrat before election is Martin Luther King or John Kennedy, and every Republican, you know, before the election is Nathan Hale. And after every election, they're both Joseph Stalin, man. They don't keep their promises. So there's a lot of reasons not to vote and not to not voting is not a strategy. It's not like we believe if nobody votes, the government will dissolve. No, if nobody votes, you know, one guy who will vote will decide everything. And people say, well, we got to vote defensively against that. No, that's going to happen no matter what. And by not voting, it's a good first step in the mental militia kind of war, in the war in your head, the war on statism, which is different than the government. You know, the state is the frame of mind of people that allow this continuing system of theft, fraud, and aggression to exist. So a good first step is not voting and not caring what politicians do and ignoring it and encouraging others that they are silly if they get worked up over it. Do not stew in your libertarian juices. We love that term so much in my house that when my wife is marinating meat for dinner, I'll say, how long till dinner? She's like, oh, it's stewing in its libertarian juices right now. All right. So Ben.
Yeah, but that is good terminology, and it really does describe that phenomenon that happens. And you know, we used to do it back in the, like, I was libertarian thinking all the way back into the 70s and 80s, and I would get together at the local Denny's in Ridgecrest, California, which the folks in Barstow, their radio station reaches there.
And we are, we're on the radio in Barstow. We're on 34 stations now. That's pretty cool.
And Lake Isabella, my old stomping grounds up there. But anyway, we used to go to the Denny's in Ridgecrest, California, and stew for hours on that. Not anymore.
Yeah. So we're going to take a pause for a cause here, as DJ Davis says. And when we come back, don't stew in your libertarian juices over the break. Enjoy the ads.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Shiny badges on your jacket, shiny badges.
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiends. And this is going to be Ben Stone with, I'm Michael W. Dean, but the other guy is Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. And he's going to do a redemption in the third act for this hour. And then in the second hour, we'll start over again and build to a bigger redemption in the third act. So go, Ben, redeem.
So we're talking about stewing in our libertarian juices, and we don't want to leave it. We don't want to leave it on a negative note like that. So, and what that is, of course, you know, is just finding the minute little details and just letting them dig into your brain and arguing with your friends and just going over and over and watching the news and letting every little piece of tyranny that comes at us through the news and through internet sources and just letting it eat you and eat you and eat you. And so what we want to do is get away from that. And this is one of the reasons that we do the Freedom Fiends the way that we do it, which is not to sit and stew on all those little things. It's what we're doing instead is we're having fun with this and we're looking out there and we're saying, look, I'm living my life. I know the government is messed up. I know policies are wrong. I know, you know, there's horrible things happening in the world. But if I can't physically touch them and do anything about it, there's no profit to me to just sit and worry about it or to constantly be talking to my friends about it. I don't need to know the minutia of every single detail of what, you know, Obama has done this week.
Which is not to say we are, you know, ostriches hiding our head in the sand. You and I are more aware than the average person by far the tyranny that all agents of all governments do at all times. And we've had them pointed directly and squarely at us on occasion. And I mean, Ben's been shot, but that's a whole nother story for another day, you know, as an indirect result of government policy. Yeah, but we're not hiding from it just because we don't live with our limbic system in a state of full on fight or flight like most people do while they listen to talk radio and polish their bayonets.
And that's a really important aspect of it, too. If you're constantly in that fight or flight mode in your brain and you're constantly feeding all the negative stuff that's going on, then you never really get the moment of clarity to calm down and see things like they really are and see things, what you can and can't change, what you can and can't do anything about. And honestly, you kind of drive people crazy who are around you. You know, I don't know, Michael, if this happens with you or not, but for me, If I spend too much time watching the news and thinking about that kind of stuff, I start spouting it to everybody I get around. I'm in a grocery store and somebody, you know, I'm checking out or whatever, and I'll start spouting that stuff to them, telling them how messed up things are.
Yeah.
But instead, we can have peace and we can know that if we're not aggressing on anyone and if we're sharing things like the non-aggression principle with people in a loving way and in a positive way, then it's not necessary for us to be up on every single thing. We can look at bigger pictures and we can understand. You know, a lot of people get worried about conspiracy theories. And like we've said several times on this show, it's not necessary to convince us how evil the government is and that it would do this crazy conspiracy or it would do that crazy conspiracy. They admit to killing babies. They admit to bombing wedding parties. It's not necessary to convince us of how evil they are. But we also don't want to spend hours and hours going down every wormhole, chasing every conspiracy theory to its minute detail. And, you know, generally speaking, we don't need to be convinced of all those terrible things to already know that the basis of government is wrong and that that's what has to be changed.
Yeah.
This belief process that when we accept this concept that government is necessary and good and that all we need to do is get the right people in charge or get that one law passed. You know, we're always that one law away from perfection. And that's the thinking that holds us back, that keeps us from moving ahead in liberty.
Yeah. And I love how some of these concepts are open. They're all open sourced and they all spread. And you just used the phrase, it was progressives always think we're three laws away from liberty. A friend of mine in Thermopolis, Wyoming, who runs a little gift shop there, a libertarian guy, motorcycle guy, actually said that to me in passing in an email at one point and just never thought about it again. And we've just picked it up and made it something that's a meme. You know, we've made it worldwide. So, Ben, we're going to be back for another hour of feisty libertarian ranting and not stewing in our libertarian juices and explaining the basic concepts of liberty in hour two on the Freedom Fiends after this. Pause for a cause and then probably some local news or national news that's going to scare the heck out of you. And then you can come back and we'll make you feel right. We'll make you feel good. We'll make you feel hopeful. And it's realistic to feel hopeful on the Freedom Fiends.
Worms.
Do you believe in free speech? Jay Raven had her True Shives YouTube channel taken down. We believe this censorship was wrong, and we believe the channel is a clear example of free speech. Many people are bullied on the internet, but Jay Raven actually stood up to the bullying. She has filed a self-defense lawsuit against the individuals who took down the channel. The outcome of this suit could be very important to the future of free speech. Learn more at trueshibes.com. That's Tango, Romeo, Uniform, Sierra, Hotel, India, Bravo, Echo, Sierra.com. trueshibes.com. Is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting through the Libertarian Reindoctrination Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region? I am your host, Mr. Michael W. Dean, the Iron Hamster. On the other end of the inner tubes, we have Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker from badquaker.com, also known as, is it the Hairy Hamster? What are you, sir?
The bearded
possum.
The bearded possum. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I said something the other day on the radio that's not, I want to correct this. It was on one of the nighttime shows. I said something, I was talking about how, you know, the thing I talked about earlier today about how my cable company has been getting weird and not, you know, they're like a dinosaur chewing its tail and too stupid to know what's happening at the other end of it and chewing its tail off or something. But, I was talking about routing cable and I said that, you know, they used to do it by tying a string to a hamster and running it through the tube where the cable is supposed to go. And then when the hamster comes out the other end, they untie the string from it and then take the take the string and tie it to the cable and pull it through. I didn't mean that literally, like that's what they used to do. I meant like that's what I could picture them doing. And our torrent master, Sean Diwali, and if you want to be a torrent feeder seeder for the Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link that says Torrent Club over on the right. But he is an electrician and does a lot of laying cable through pipes as part of his job. And he said, that's, I've never heard that. That's pretty funny. And then he showed me how they actually do it, which is using a compressor or a vacuum to suck something through the pipe with a string on it that they do call a mouse. So maybe this is how they did it in antiquity, but, yeah, it's like a little, you know, plastic thing about the size of a sponge and the vacuum sucks it through with a string on it and it's called a mouse. But I told him, this is kind of mean, but it's kind of funny. I said to him, to Sean Diwali, that next time you have, you're on a job site and there's like a newly minted electrician who's just starting working for the first time or an apprentice or something. I said, you should hand him your keys and say, go out to my truck and get the cage with the hamster in it and the ball of string. We got to put some cable through this pipe and see if the guy believes it. I think that's pretty funny.
That would be a classic joke to pull on a new electrician.
Yeah. They always have the, in any realm, they always have the joke for the new guys. I think in aerospace, wasn't it Get Me a Skyhook?
Yeah. When I first got out of high school and retired from some of the some of the more illegal activities.
The things that got you shot that where yeah. You were not a policeman or a soldier. Yeah.
Yeah. Once I got out of that business and got what might be called legitimate work, I was working aerospace. In a chemical factory. Well, no, this is even before I was in aerospace. It laid the groundwork for me to be able to move into aerospace. But I was working in this chemical factory, and the thing that they did to us there as a newbie, they had this chemical that was a lime derivative. It's actually a form of quicklime, and it would spill off of the conveyor belts. And so they would give us goggles and give us heavy gloves and tell us to go over there and shovel this stuff. And it's not a bad job, really. The stuff's fairly light. So you shovel it into wheelbarrows and wheel it over and dump it into a container. And they would always tell us very carefully, now don't get any of this in your eyes. It'll burn your eyes. So, okay, so we're fine. What they didn't tell you was the dust, anywhere the dust settled on your skin and you began to sweat, it would start to burn your skin because essentially it was like it was kind of like drain cleaner. As a matter of fact, many drain cleaners contain this particular chemical. And the only way to get it off was either lots and lots of water or vinegar. And so that was their funny joke, would be to send
two green. That's not funny. That's my joke's a lot funnier.
Yeah, it was cruel.
Yeah.
It was cruel. It really hurt. And it was scary, too, to all of a sudden have your, you're in a chemical company anyway, and have your skin burning and you don't know why. It was not funny to the person.
Did this company do work for the government?
Actually, it was the company that, what was that lady's name? There was a movie made about her death. She was an employee of this company, and they were in the nuclear division.
Silkwood?
Exactly. That really? Was the company. Yeah.
Oh, man. So, yeah, your tax dollars at work right there, tormenting the newbies and leading to deaths that may or may not have been caused by them that led to major motion pictures.
Yeah. Yeah. That yep. broke Cher out of her singing career and gave her a whole new career in the movies.
All right. So go ahead.
That's your government at work.
Yep. So I wanted to talk about, you're going to talk about historical revisionism, but first I want to talk a little bit about how to teach the ideas of liberty. So once you get this concept that all laws are enforced at the barrel of a gun, which we haven't really explained in this episode, it's basically the idea that without being backed by a gun, a law is just a suggestion. And every law is backed by a gun in the sense that if you don't comply with the law, you know, if it's at a traffic stop, if you don't comply, they will drag you out of your car, force you out of your car. And if you resist, they will put a gun to your head and handcuff you and take you to a cage or shoot you, depending on how much you resist and what kind of mood the policeman is in that at that moment. And, you know, if it's something like not paying your property tax or having your hedge too high, you know, they'll send you a letter. And when you ignore that, they'll have some guy with a clipboard come by. And when you ignore that, the guy with the clipboard will come back with men with guns. He'll come back with sheriffs or police or state police. And then at that point, if you resist, they will put a gun to your head and either kill you or handcuff you and drag you off to a cage, depending on how much you resist. So whenever people say what we need to do is blah, blah, blah. First of all, that's collective thought. And whether that person's a Republican or a Democrat, they are being socialist when they say what we need to do. And if they're talking about adding a law. So the only things that should be illegal are aggressing on somebody or stealing or committing fraud, you know, and that covers murder, theft, rape, fraud, punching someone in the face on the street, you know, beating your wife, beating your husband, anything or you know, any kind of like tricking somebody out of their money. So all of that should be illegal, but nothing else should be illegal. There should be no laws against things that don't have a victim. And most laws are against things that don't have a victim. You know, when you're speeding on an empty road, there's no victim. All sorts of things. You know, when you have some green leafy material in your home or in your car, there's no victim. When you have your fence 8 feet and 1 inch high instead of the city requirement of 8 feet high, there's no victim. So a lot of laws that are enforced by the barrel of a gun because police said, well, not because police said, because politicians said, a big one is the tough on crime stuff. Like if you're caught with any amount of any hard drug, you're going to prison. That's a big thing that politicians get elected on because old people are scared of things they don't understand. And I'm 50 and Ben's 50 something. We're not ageist, but older people tend to be afraid of whatever's new and want to outlaw it. And they screech to their politicians. And when politicians are running for office, they promise to be tough on crime, which is actually one of the only campaign promises they usually keep because it doesn't involve making things better. It involves making things worse, punishing people because they have a libido dominandi. They have a desire to control and harm people that aren't doing anything wrong. And because it makes jobs for their cop buddies and their politician buddies, you know, so they have done a lot of things where they promised over many decades and many many cycles of politicians being elected. You know, there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of horrible laws on the books, and they're actually starting to be rolled back a little bit. Like California just recently, you know, reclassified a lot of felony drug things as misdemeanors, which I think is pretty cool. Although they also changed the amount of money that that someone steals being defined as a felony at the same time, which I'm not sure I'm so happy about. I kind of think that I think stealing a dollar is a bigger crime than having a ton of cocaine or marijuana or hashish or heroin. I don't think there's any crime in having a substance that people want that they choose to take.
And we don't use any of those things. You and I both, neither of us are drug users.
I've been sober 20 years, which leads into how to talk to people about liberty. And I learned it two places. One is from AA, how they teach you in AA to talk to the new guy, you know, and I'm not breaking my anonymity or breaking the traditions of AA by saying I used to go to AA, because I don't go anymore and I'm not a member. So I'm not speaking for AA, but I've been involved with it. I was involved with it, you know, pretty heavy for about 9 years and then stopped going, and I'm still sober now for 20 years, clean and sober, completely off everything, except nicotine and caffeine, which I like a lot and do a lot, but I've never compromised my life for those things, you know, and I'm vaping, I'm not smoking, so it's not giving me cancer now. But the way they tell you in AA to speak to the newcomer, you know, if you're a recovering alcoholic and you have someone come to you and say, yeah, so my friend told me to talk to you because, you know, you've been sober a long time and I'm starting to think I have a problem. What should I do? No matter how messed up the person is, you don't treat them with anger. You don't treat them like they're stupid. You know, in the same way, it says in the AA book, in the same way you wouldn't yell at someone with cancer. You know, they have a disease and you want to help them. And usually a person who's a recovering alcoholic can do a better job helping a still drinking alcoholic get sober if the still drinking alcoholic has any inclination to want to get sober, far more effectively than a doctor with a degree in addictionology who never had a problem. And
a judge.
Yeah, you can't. They sentence people to AA, but that's not really AA. And people don't generally stay sober who get sentenced to AA. And it's not right. And there are some meetings that won't sign court slips. I used to run a meeting in San Francisco called Lust for Life, NA meeting that I started, that would not sign court slips. We're like, hey, if you're sentenced to be here, you're welcome to be here, and you can sign your own slip, and they won't even know, probably, but we're not going to sign them for you because we won't cooperate. And that was before I was even anti-government. I was just, you know, before I was against the whole idea of government, I just didn't like the idea of people being sentenced. So that's the first part of it, is speak to people with love. When they say, who would build the roads without the government? Don't say, you stupid idiot. Sit down and talk to them with love and explain to them with love and with care and with understanding. Be confident, but not cocky. Same as when you're calling trying to get your money back from your cable provider. It's a great way to interface with the world, being confident, but not cocky. And you get more flies with honey than with vinegar. So we'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Now that the elections are over and liberty has slipped even further away, it's time to try yet another political organization. Campaign for a Longer Leash is a nonpartisan group of pups and dogs dedicated to fighting for longer leashes for all. We're not talking about no leashes, that would be catarchy. We just want the limited leash that the Hounding Fathers promised us. As Bone Barklin once said, a longer leash if you can keep it, ma'am. For more info, go to facebook.com/campaignforalongerleash.
Freedom. Michael Dean. Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. And I just got an email back from Sean Duvalli, our torrent master, because I told him that he should send guys to the truck for the hamster cage and the string. And he liked it. But he wrote back and said, we already do send the new guys to the truck to get the short circuit and the wire stretcher. That's funny.
Oh.
All right. So I was talking in the last segment about how to speak to people new to Liberty or curious about Liberty, you know, to basically not yell at them. Don't get in fights with them. This is one reason I'm not active on Facebook. A lot of my friends are on face beef, as I call it, and they end up in screaming fits with statists. Now, I believe there are two kinds of people as far as whether or not they can be converted, if that's the word, to Liberty. I kind of believe, and this sounds kind of weird because it kind of sounds like eugenics. Like, I almost think there are two separate species of people, but it's not really that. But it's basically that I think there are kind of two kinds of people with Liberty. There are those who, when they encounter it, ask questions. You know, they're like, well, I don't know. How would it work without the government building roads and doing defense? And then you explain it to them. And if you can explain it well, if you can transmit the knowledge from one person to another, as they say in AA, you know, what AA was based on what was called first century Christianity, which wasn't a big glorious church. It was like the apostles, one man going out across the land and speaking to another. And that's kind of what we're doing with our Liberty mission here. And when you explain the concepts of Liberty to people, and you have to understand them to explain them, but it doesn't take long to get up to snuff on it. I mean, basically, if you listen to about 5 Freedom Fiends episodes in a row, you'll have it. Or if you go hang out at the Mises Institute website or a few other places, Free Talk Live is a good radio show, freetalklive.com. They are on a bunch of radio stations. But once you have these concepts and people ask you questions and you explain them to people, you know, some people like ask questions and are curious and keep asking questions and kind of get it as you answer more questions. And you have to be patient with them. The other kind of people are the people who defend the state like they're defending their mother. They will start screaming at you. And a lot of times it has to do with their connection to it. Like, you can't say we don't need the military because my brother and my father and me, we're all in the military and the military is glorious. You know, or if you say, you know, voting for the lesser of two evils and letting 59% of the people, 51% of the people rule over 59% of the people is immoral. You tell them that, they say, you don't love democracy and you're committing treason. If they say things like that, you should walk away because you're never going to convince those people. They are, as they say in AA, constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. And they will not only argue with you and wear you down and waste your time when you could be talking to a better candidate who might actually get it. And, you know, often they'll end up like reporting you to the DHS or something, which, you know, the DHS already knows what we're saying on the radio. But, it, you know, when someone directly report, like, I know this guy and I went to school with him and he sounds dangerous, you'll probably get a visit from the government because that is the East German kind of world we're living in America now. So don't waste your time with those kind of people, the ones that defend the state like they're defending their mother. Now, the second thing that's an influence on me on my attitude to Liberty, the first thing is AA. The second thing is the Cooper color code, which is something that Colonel Jeff Cooper made up for understanding the different situational awareness levels you should be in when out on the street or anywhere where there might be danger. And he coded them into color bars, white, yellow, orange, red, and black. Now, interestingly, the Department of Homeland Security stole this idea and made the threat level thing that like they were pushing for a while after 9/11 and they still have somewhere. And in American Dad, Stan Smith has it on his refrigerator with a little arrow he can change to show the threat level. Now, what that is a propaganda thing where the government is saying, we're going to determine what threat level, what level of scaredness you should be in. But really only you can determine the threat level in a given situation. So the threat levels are white, which is completely unaware, which makes you a potential victim. When you have headphones on and you're whistling on a dark street, yellow is situationally aware, which is where you should be most of the time. Orange, which is you recognize a specific potential threat. Red is ready to fight and black is in the fight. So most libertarians who stew in their juices tend to live in orange or red, which will wear you down and make you crazy. You should be living in yellow. You should be living in situationally aware but calm. And you can live in yellow 100% of the time. But, you know, then you could go to orange if you need to. But don't live in condition orange or condition red or condition black. It'll drive you nuts, man. And it'll drive everyone around you nuts. So we're going to take a pause for a cause here, and then Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, is going to come back and explain historical revisionism to you.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Having outgrown childish libertarian fantasies, I now believe in worms! What is Libertarians Against Humanity? It's the only unofficial Cards Against Humanity expansion pack by libertarians, for libertarians, and against libertarians. Libertarians Against Humanity is free to play online, or join the Indiegogo campaign to get physical copies and other perks to play with friends or status you haven't defooed yet. Because if we don't laugh, the status win.
Not recommended for faint heart, thin skins, or those who easily rustle jimmies. Consult a physician if you experience drop in blood pressure or laughter lasts longer than 4 hours.
That's libertariansagainsthumanity.com.
Freedom Fiends. I'm Mr. Michael Dean, and I'm going to hand the mic over. I'm going to hand the mic over hip hop battle style here to Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. And he's going to spit some dope beats back at me. He's going to spit some dope raps back at me about how the world works and tell us about what historical revisionism is, why you should be able to recognize it, and what you should do when you recognize it. Go ahead, Ben. Go.
And we say freedom fiends so much truth it hurts, and we kind of mean it.
Ow.
Yeah. And sometimes truth does hurt. Sometimes. Yeah, and I was talking earlier about our dedication to the truth and how the truth is one of the things that drives the libertarian brain, drives us for good, but can also kind of drive us kind of a little goofy too if we let it. But you know, historical revisionism, it sounds scary when you say it, historical revisionism, because a lot of people get thoughts in their head of left wing people going in and making all the great founding fathers sound like bad guys or something like this. But you have to understand what historical revisionism actually is. So I'm going to read a real quick definition out of Wikipedia. And we don't accept everything Wikipedia says as gospel, but there are some pretty good gems in Wikipedia.
Well,
so
the thing
to
do with Wikipedia too is to use it as a starting off point. And then look at the little citations. They usually have a citation to the link where it came from. And, you know, look for things that you've heard of, not necessarily mainstream media, but, you know, if they just cite somebody's blog, you might be dealing with untruth. But yeah, I checked the citations.
Yeah, I do too. You know, and this is off topic, but I know, Michael, you do this and I do it. I was guilty of it today. I was playing around on Wikipedia and kind of went down a wormhole and ended up reading for about 2 hours about Max Baer, the boxer from the 1930s. And it was fascinating. I love this. And much of it I already knew, but it was wild. That's how the internet can really be a time suck if you're not careful.
And I wouldn't say I'm guilty of it. It's not a crime. I don't like that term.
Yeah.
So did you do some historical revisionism and say that Max Baer was a bear?
No, he was the real quick here. He was the partial, I guess you can say it like this. He was partial Jew that knocked out the Nazi boxer in like 1932, I believe it was, or
good
33.
Good for him.
Yeah, it made Hitler mad. It hurt Hitler's feelings.
Aw, good for Max Baer.
So historical revisionism from Wikipedia, it says historiography. Historical revisionism is the reinterpretation of orthodox views on evidence, motivations, and decision-making processes surrounding a historical event. Though the word revisionism is sometimes used in a negative way, constant revision of history is a part of normal scholarly processes of writing history. So it's really important to understand, that's from Wikipedia, but it's really important to understand that without historical revisionism, we would never adjust what we understand about history when new stuff comes in. So, for instance, in the 1800s, they had really crazy ideas of what ancient Egypt was like. They were way off on their ideas. And it's through 100 to 200 years of actual digging in the sand and learning how to read the language and all these things. That's all historical revisionism. And so now we have a much clearer picture of what ancient Egypt was like than we did, say, in 1820 and so forth, when they were literally coming upon, when Napoleon's troops first came upon the head of the Sphinx sticking out of the sand, they didn't even know the body was underneath it. They had no idea what this thing was. It was not anywhere in any kind of European literature, or there was no teachings about it. And so they had to make assumptions what it was. Well, now we have a much better picture, and we understand now because of historical revisionism.
I wonder if that's the inspiration in the movie Planet of the Apes at the end, and spoiler alert for a movie made 40 or 50 years ago. At the end, he finds the Statue of Liberty, you know, buried in sand up to the head in a torch.
I've often wondered what would happen. Let's say if there was some kind of worldwide catastrophe and we went through some type of the Dark Ages. I've often wondered what people would think when they finally run across Mount Rushmore and they look at it.
They would think that it was religion.
Yeah, they would think they were gods. Yeah. It was some kind of gods that we.
And I've heard there's actually a rapper who says the same thing about Washington, D.C., like, you know, downtown Washington, D.C., with its marble Greek style columns and statues of the great men and, you know, the temples of Congress, the Senate building, the Congress building. In the White House, you know, they would think that this was the religion of the day. And, you know, historical revisionism, too, like there's the term set in stone, you know, for something that is law or undisputed history or the way things are always to be. And it literally comes from laws being carved into stone in antiquity. And an interesting historical revisionism, and a lot of people consider this a good historical revisionism that I've seen in person, is in Germany. There are a lot of statues that were built during the Nazi era that, you know, statues of an eagle or statues of, you know, men and women working, or, you know, statues of children playing. And on the base of these statues, they would often have a swastika, literally cast in stone, you know, carved in stone. And a lot of those statues are still up, but they've had the swastika chiseled off of them. That's a form of revisionist history that some would say is good, but what I would do probably with those statues is put them in a museum somewhere, in a kind of never forget kind of museum, you know. And the Germans did a lot of, instead of saying this horrible thing happened, let's learn about it so it never happens again, is they have kind of whitewashed the Nazi era out of their history almost completely. Like, it's barely taught in school. It's an embarrassment. And they have interesting overreactions to it now, too. Like, Germany, for a country that had that history, cracks down pretty hard on alternative religions. You know, they're not big fans of it, and they, like, outlaw cults, and, you know, they want to make sure that no great man ever gets power again. And a lot of more liberty-minded people were actually really opposed to the reunification of Germany. Like, they thought, after the Berlin Wall came down, that East Germany should become its own country, because they didn't like the idea of having a strong, united, one German, you know, nation again, because that just, like, seemed like too reminiscent of the past. And, you know, the weird thing is, like, anybody over a certain age in Germany alive was a Nazi. I mean, they may have been a Nazi because they had to be. But, you know, a lot of them were Nazis and went along with it. And a lot of old people in Germany are still Nazis. And, it's really weird how they'd have their revisionist history in that country, man. It's whitewashing it and trying to forget it ever happened.
And eventually, you know, with enough generations that get washed through time, a lot of times, even a country's own history, they'll begin to face the reality of what it was really like. So it may take two or three or four generations before, you know, the German people really have a serious discussion and embrace the truth of what actually did happen.
Yeah, Obama's done a lot of creepy revisionist history, including signing some horrible thing into law. It might have been the It was either the renewal of the Patriot Act or the renewal of the military budget authorization that enables indefinite detention without due process. He signed it literally in the room where the Declaration of Independence is, under glass and preserved under nitrogen or helium or some inert glass. Like, you know, actually, you know, it just seemed like desecrating. Not that I'm a fan of the great works, but it really seemed like desecrating, you know, the intent most people believe in those original documents by signing this really, really horrible, tyrannical bill into law in front of it. Like, you know,
that's one of the reasons that revisionism gets a bad rap, because it's used very often for propaganda purposes like that.
Yeah, well, there's the whole memory hole thing in the book 1984, you know, where basically there were people working for the government whose whole job was to rewrite history constantly to make it in favor of the current tyrannical government, to the point where one of the things they did in there was, if you were a dissident, if you, you know, and like, we would have had our doors kicked in that nation on day one that the show started. But, you know, in that nation, it's kind of like North Korea, like even saying like, wait, they say we have more bread, but we have less bread, you know, would get you disappeared and killed. And the disappearing in there is even more severe than what they do in like North Korea. Like they, in the book 1984, which I think is a guide for some of these tyrants, they disappear you, and then they scrub from history anything that you ever existed. Like all pictures, you're cut out of pictures, you're cut out of newspaper articles. Like literally, they revise history so you never existed, and none of your family or friends are ever allowed to speak your name again, or the same thing will happen to them.
That's the negative aspect of this. When government gets this power to control what history becomes anything they want it to be, to sell the story that government is good and that the government that we have is great and the men that are in charge of government are great.
And the internet kind of takes away that power, to the point where, you know, people like Cass Sunstein, who was the czar of everything under Bush and Obama, and has stopped doing that now. I think he's being groomed to be the next Supreme Court judge. He basically wrote a paper. He wrote a white paper during the Bush administration called Conspiracy Theories, which was basically about how to regulate and tweak the internet to stop allowing free speech without actually banning free speech. You know, he likes to nudge people into compliance with things like, he actually suggested paying government employees to go onto social networks and pose as common folk and argue the government line against people who say bad things about the government or say the government's inept. And literally, like, that's another reason I'm not on face beef, is I think half the time when you're arguing with somebody, you're actually arguing with somebody, you know, in some government office building in a little cubicle who's paid to just sit there and go through Facebook and look for dissent and argue against it.
Yeah, and they've been actually busted in doing that, both in the U.S. and in the U.K., that there are actually people that are doing that. Snowden had part of his stuff revealed that really was.
I busted someone doing that on the Freedom Fiend site. There was a snippy comment a few years ago, and the IP address, they didn't even try to hide that. It was like, you know, it was the senatorial offices. It was some page or something defending some senator I'd badmouthed.
That's pretty wild, but, you know, but that's common. That's common practice. That's what they're doing now. And they've probably been doing it to some degree for quite some time. They just didn't admit it before.
Yep.
The truth.
The truth. We'll be back with more truth. So much truth it hurts in the redemption redemption in the third act. After this pause for a cause and a trip to the free market on the Freedom Fiends. Talk radio musical extravaganza.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends. Which means we are fiends. Fiends. For freedom. But you know, that's how little kids say fiend. Or how a rapper would say fiend is fiends. F-E-E-N-S. All right, this is the redemption in the third act. Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker from badquaker.com, is going to do the Bad Quaker book club thing and then bring us home with the redemption in the third act of why we should not stew in our libertarian juices. Go, Ben, go, Ben, go, Ben, go.
So historical revisionism can be bad or good, and we want to stay on the good side of that by seeking the truth. And that's our whole goal, is to seek the truth. We want to be peaceful. We want to not aggress upon others. We want to be able to defend ourselves in all situations, and we want to seek the truth at all times. And we want to be able to face the truth no matter how much it stings. And I'm going to throw out a couple names here and some books that will help you along the way if you're thinking about this kind of thing. And if you're not sure, you don't have to pull your car over real fast and write these things down. Just, you can get over to the Freedom Fiends website, freedomfeens.com, and Michael will have links to all these books right in today's show notes. So I've got 4 authors and 4 books, and this will equip anybody in any situation to understand history, the way history has been twisted, the way it's been sold to us by government schools, and what the truth is. And the first of these is by an author named John Denson. He is a resident of Alabama and a fine gentleman, I might add. And he has a great book called A Century of War, Lincoln, Wilson, and Roosevelt, although he would pronounce it Roosevelt. Now, John Denson's book, and I should say, too, these 4 books are so important to me that I keep them in our motorhome while we travel. My wife and I are on the road traveling all the time. We are full-time RVers, and I have these books in my motorhome all the time. And I have several. I have a nice library in my motorhome. But so John Denson, and the book is A Century of War: Lincoln, Wilson, and Roosevelt. That will give you an understanding of a 100-year period that the United States government pretty much stayed in constant war or preparation for war. Another one is a book called by John Flynn called As We Go Marching, and it specifically is about World War I, and it dispels a lot of the myths that are generally accepted and generally taught in government schools about World War I. Another book is from an author that I really like his work. His name is Jeff Riggenbach. And he wrote a book called Why American History Is Not What They Say. And I highly recommend this book. It's not that big, but
does
it's
he
a
have
really
an audio
book
of that? Because he does some audiobooks and he has an amazingly great voice.
I don't know if there's an audio version of that or not. If there is, now that you've said that, I'm going to look and see if I can find it after the show, because I would just love to have an audio version of that just to listen to. His voice is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the fourth book is by a guy named Murray Rothbard. Now, Murray Rothbard was an economist, and he's also called Mr. Libertarian.
He's a bow tie. He's one of those bow tie libertarians from the 50s and 60s I was talking about.
Yeah. But he was also a historian, and he had a great work called Conceived in Liberty. And it's in its original version, it was a 4-volume set, and it went from the earliest days of English settlements in the New World all the way through the Revolutionary War period. And it's very, very intense. It's a lot to read.
I would throw another book in there too, real quick. Anatomy of the State by Ludwig von Mises. It's a really short book and you can download it free. It's about 40 or 50 pages long.
That is good. And that's one of the ones that's behind me, right where I sit right now. I have that book in my library. So get over to Freedom Fiends. Hit these links. You can get these books from Amazon, or if you look around a little bit, you can probably get a free version of them from the Mises Institute, because they have a lot of this kind of stuff for free on their website.
They're in Alabama.
They are in Alabama. The Mises Institute is located in Auburn, Alabama. And if you're anywhere near there, if you stop by, they will actually give you a tour of their facility.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that was really redemption in the third act, but it was at least a way that people can find out more about what this is we're talking about.
I would say it was absolutely redemption in the third act. It's pretty rare that you get books recommended on talk radio where we're not making money off it. Although I am going to put Amazon affiliate links in these on my site. But we're not. This is not Oprah's book club, man. This is the truth. Not saying that she's not the truth, because she is probably surrounded by attorneys. It's a different kind of truth here on the Freedom Fiends than Oprah's book club. And, don't stew in your libertarian juices. Laugh at the state. Laugh at the tyranny. Laughter is a better weapon than fear.
Worms.
Thanks, Ben Stone.
Hey, thank you, Michael.